This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanasen with Khoo Soo Chuang and Noel Lim in the studio this morning. Now, before we get into our, in about 15 minutes, we're actually going to be taking a look at the dispute in the South China Sea, long-standing maritime dispute there with an analysis from IHS Market. And right now, we're actually going to be talking about Malaysian politics, or at least the political landscape. But before that, Chuang, what's the market landscape looking like?
The market landscape is still positive. The KLCI is at 1,373 points, up by 0.2%. And of course, at last count, when you looked at it in the morning, the rubber glove makers were still supporting the stock. And at this point in time, 36 minutes later, it's still very much the same picture. Adventa 101, Luxchem 72 cents, Top Glove 729, Comfort Glove 128, Carex, the condom maker, 50.5 cents.
Right, and that's the landscape there. But now let's look at the political story for today, Chuang. On Saturday, Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin had a special interview hosted by Astro Awani, Bernama TV and RTM. And one of the comments that gained attention was his explanation that he is choosing not to comment on politics in order to focus on addressing the pandemic that we're facing. However, actions speak louder than words, and while the Prime Minister may not be saying much, his government has certainly been acting to shore up political support. Now, for this, we speak to Dr. Wong Chin Huat, political science at the Jeffrey Sachs Centre on Sustainable Development at Tsinghua University, and he's been writing a series of articles on how parliamentary systems how they're being shaped and how they shape the politics of a country, or at least our political country. So he's joins us on the line for this discussion. Chin Huat, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Now, we talked about your articles that you've written and that the political machinations have produced the politically weakest government that we've ever seen. What do you mean by this?
Well, a government is weak, not just in the sense like whether you have a majority or not, but if you lack legitimacy, then anyone can jump and bring you down. That's really the trouble. If you have legitimacy, but you are a minority and your parliamentarians do not feel that they have a free hand to threaten you, to bring you down, then you're too strong. Countries like Denmark, they always have minority government most of the time, but you never heard of problems like ours.
So what do you make of the Prime Minister's statement in his interview on Saturday that he is putting off comments on political issues surrounding the government and they want to just focus on COVID-19? To me, it sounds like a public relations strategy, right? Because everything is about politics.
It is, and it would work if people are not very smart. For very simple reason, if you compare to, we talk about how important this pandemic, of course, is important, but would you tell someone and say, all we need to stay healthy is to wash your hands and wear face masks and never mind about cancer because cancer will come much later? You can't, right? So for the same reason, we can't just be talking about, say, we need to fight this pandemic. Of course, it's certainly need to do so, but we also need to look into the long-term health of the government and the economy. And that's actually what come about, that as you have rightly pointed out, it's not just about for him to say not to talk about politics. What we are seeing is that there's a lot of appointment to make sure that his MP would stay with him. To start with, he has now a 71-member line up in the parliament. In his administration, including two minister-level envoys to Middle East and China.
It seems to me perhaps he is buying time because, members of other political parties that are in line with him are asking for more seats, perhaps?
Yes, exactly. And if you look at his number, clearly he should have 113 members of parliament supporting him. That's 112 from his so-called Perikatan National Government, and then one independent. However, on 12th of March, that's 3 days after his cabinet lineup was announced, UMNO actually made a very strong case and say Perikatan National is not a coalition of parties, but only a coalition of parliamentarians. What it effectively says is that UMNO is not part of the government. UMNO has 39 seats, but only 16 ministers and deputy ministers from UMNO are part of the government. So the other 33, would be free to vote whatever they want. That's how it is threatening Muhyiddin's government.
Chen Wan, you pointed out that Parliament's convening on May 18th happens for one reason only. It's because any later, then it happens that Parliament is dissolved because it's 6 months from the last time it was last in session. So basically, Muhyiddin has had no choice but to call it May 18th. What do you think is going to happen on that one day when Parliament sits? Do you think that he has the support of Parliament, or do you think he is in real danger of facing a vote of no confidence?
Oh, he rules that out because that it takes away parliamentary questions. It takes away motions. There's no budget to be tabled for his stimulus package. So the whole thing would be very driven by formality. You would have the King's speech because it's the beginning of the year. And after that, there would be some government businesses. And that's a whole day. So the deadline was actually on June 5th. So they have to call it somehow and they make it so cynically for one day.
Okay, so this is very important because Muhyiddin is in charge at a time when the country faces its biggest ever crisis on three fronts, not two or one. What does it mean for Malaysia's reform agenda? What does it mean for Malaysia's economic agenda if he is putting politicians in key GLC positions and in cabinet positions where, predictably, evidentially, the last few weeks have shown that several ministers are not up to the job?
Indeed. I mean, the more dangerous part is that the Parliamentary Affairs Minister, Takiuddin, has announced that every government backbencher is going to get a job. At that, every government backbencher, you have to remember, that would include Pekan MP, Najib, and Pakatan Datuk MP, Zaid. So it is very dangerous things going that way. I think what we need now is actually a strong opposition.
So, Chen Wan, I'm reading your article, and you point out to two examples. One being in New Zealand, the health minister was essentially reprimanded for violating the country's own lockdown order. Now, we've had a few examples of that in Malaysia by some deputy ministers on our front, but not as stern action, or not at least equivalent to what Jacinda Ardern has done on her side. What do you make of this in terms of the power dynamic at play in this country?
It makes it very clearly that the Prime Minister is so weak that he cannot even rein in on his cabinet, his government members, even on a very mild action. For example, you can ask them to say, donate 1 month of your salary, another month of your salary as punishment. But he could not do this because as much as he controlled them, they control him.
So, looking at what's happening now, I want to take you back to your previous comment about the opposition. So what do you think is Pakatan Harapan's best strategy now?
What we need now is for Pakatan Harapan to form a shadow cabinet so that they put in place their 92 MP to best use. They have lost four ministers. Actually, more than that, sorry. Four from PKR and a few from, and five from Bersatu. So they've lost nine. And then, so what do you do with the lineup? Are you going to have the same? We need them to come up with a proper lineup of shadow minister so that they would perform effectively checking on the government.
Why do you think they've been so quiet in recent weeks? Do you think they're still shell-shocked from their loss?
I think more than that is that people are still making very short-term calculation on horse trading. When you're in that mood, then not doing anything is best. And of course, I'm not suggesting that the opposition should be very high profile, but they should show that they are competent, mean business. So putting up a lineup, a proper lineup of shadow cabinet is the most important thing to do. That doesn't mean that they cannot negotiate with Mahathir's Barisan on how to reshape it. But the 92 MPs should not be sitting there and doing nothing.
Your idea of forming a shadow cabinet, it probably resonates with like maybe the urban voters. But do the rest of the country really care?
They may not care, but on the first sight, but when every time when they see a minister is not performing, when you have a shadow minister is performing, then they will care. The good example is actually look at Ministry of Health. And the alternative to Adam Baba is not even it's not Dr. Zulkifli Ahmad, because we don't know what role is he playing federally. But people, dissatisfaction to the health minister is transferred to become a fraction for the DG, Dr. Nahisham.
So, you know, I want to bring it back to Parliament right now. How important is Parliament in a time like this? We've seen more volatility than this is the biggest thing to happen in this country since maybe independence at this point. What is the role of Parliament in a time like this? And has Parliament got any real options right now?
The Parliament definitely is more needed than before. We need them to look at the budget. We need them to debate a lot of issues so that the government feel accountable, and all of these are not happening. So what it means is that when we look at what happened out there, ordinary people get jailed, get arrested, while VIP gets away. If the parliament is in session, this would not happen, because the government would be more embarrassed than now. At the moment, they are not embarrassed. They basically have power almost as if like this is a wartime.
And I just want to ask you to clarify that when in your article you compare the parliament to the electoral college of the prime minister, what do you mean by that?
Okay. In parliamentary system, in contrast to presidential system, where they directly vote the president and the Congress separately, in our system, we have only one election, that's for the parliament, and then the parliamentarian among themselves would select their leader that to become prime minister. In Malaysia, the selection is not formal, meaning that you don't have formal elections in the parliament, but the parliament hold the key whether to retain the prime minister or sack him or her. So if a vote of no confidence is carried, or a vote of confidence is defeated, or a budget is defeated, the government is sacked. The prime minister is sacked. So in that sense, that's the first and foremost role that the parliament play in the parliamentary system, to be the electoral college of the prime minister.
All right, General, thank you so much for spending some time with us this morning. That was Wong Chin Huat, political scientist at Sunway University, and really breaking down the situation there in terms of the importance of Parliament, right? And how on earth they're going to do anything with just one day virtually online. And really, as he pointed out, that was just really just to make sure that Parliament doesn't dissolve, because he needs to meet within the 6 month period. Up next, we're going to be taking a look at maritime disputes over the South China Sea. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.